We will be involved in the lectionary readings that come out of the Gospel of John chapter 6. And I will be reflecting with you on a theme of miracles and multitudes. And today we will talk about sharing lunch. Here is a reading from the Gospel of John in chapter 6. Today's reading, beginning at verse 1 and ending at verse 21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near to the boat. And they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of Christ. Amen. Let us pray together, friends. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. And let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts together truly be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, friends, this week we hear the connected stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water to reach disciples struggling to cross by night. So let me set the context for us this morning. The meaning of the feeding of the 5,000 will be unpacked in some depth over the next 5 weeks. For today, however, John's focus is primarily on the fact that all present and choosing to identify with the crowd being seated were fed. Jesus and his disciples distributed what they had to everyone who was ready to receive. He and his disciples fed them all. And that was such a remarkable thing. Some were prepared, as the scripture said, to declare him the king, a king, their king. Jesus would have none of this and disappeared into the mountains. The disciples made their way to the shore and started across the water. It was the night. Night is a poor time to try sailing on the Sea of Galilee. Winds and waves are more turbulent than usual, and storms can happen at any time. Jesus caught up with them, walking across the sea. The one who had fed them was still with them, taking them where they needed to go. Today, the connection between these two stories may matter most. Put most simply, Jesus feeds us if we let him. And when he does, we find even in our struggles with adversity in the world, he comes to us and takes us where we need to go. The one who feeds us, sends us, and meets us on the way. That's the context we find in this narrative offered to us in the Gospel of John. So let's go even deeper now. Let's go even deeper now. He was just a kid hanging around the great teacher. He wasn't even counted in the 5,000. The crowd's hungry. Where shall we buy food for them? The great teacher asked as a test. Feeding this many people would cost 8 months' wages, replied one disciple, Philip, who was good at math, apparently. Philip the apostle, not to be confused with the other Philip the deacon. I can share my lunch, said the kid who couldn't do the math. I've got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The great teacher smiled. That is plenty, my dear son. Thanks. Then the great teacher gave thanks to God, and 5,000 men, plus unaccounted women and children, we know that. We know that there was a kid, ate their fill. 12 baskets, leftovers. One for each disciple. Reinforced the lesson. Good things happen when you share your lunch. That's a sign, Sally. That's a sign. Good things happen when you share your lunch, my dear friends. The Brazilian pastor sat in the sun in his garden. It was a rare quiet moment. He was reading his Bible and praying. A tapping at the door broke his concentration of being lost in his own thoughts. He sat silently, hoping the person would tire and go away. But the gentle tapping resumed. Grumpily, he walked to the door, opened it with a scowl on his face. I could imagine me doing that. It was a grimy kid with hard eyes. A street kid. A street kid. "Sir, may I have, please, some bread?" "A little bread?" The pastor almost said no and go away. But he couldn't. And he said curtly, "Stay here." He went to his kitchen and wrapped a small piece of bread and returned and handed it to the kid. "Here now, don't bother me again." Walking back toward his garden and his Bible, the pastor passed the window and glanced out. And there was the boy carefully dividing the bread into smaller pieces and sharing them with three younger street kids. Tears flowing, the pastor invited the children in, begging for forgiveness. He shared bread and milk and cheese. He asked their names and listened to their stories. Today, my friends, in that Brazilian city, every street kid knows there is a church and a pastor who will never turn them away. Good things happen when you share your lunch. Here is another real-life story. Reviewing a recent bank statement, a father noted a declining balance. Oops. He directed an angry rant toward his family. "Why can't we get control of our finances? Doesn't anyone realize we aren't made of money?" The next day, the family sat at morning devotions. Midway through a short reading, a question and challenge broke through to this father. "What did Jesus tell us to pray for when he taught us his disciples to pray? Give us this day our daily bread," the text replied. "Did you have breakfast today?" it went on. "Yes, of course." "Did you thank God for answering your prayer?" Oops. The tirade of the evening before and the convicting questions came together in a rush to this father. "No, I hadn't thanked God for our daily bread. No, I hadn't thanked God for a bank balance to worry about. No, I didn't thank God for a family to talk to." This father had focused on what was absent and not on what was present. He had lost the kingdom perspective. He'd lost a sign. Had Jesus asked me to feed the crowd, I would have answered like Philip. I don't know about you, but I would have answered like Philip. Had I been the pastor, I would have wondered what my family would eat if I gave away our bread. Three things come to mind. We are called to be aware of what we have. Friends, be aware of what we have and thank God. In the kingdom, good things happen when we share our lunch. And we are wise, my friends, to listen to children. Right, Sally? We are wise to listen to children. Friends, and the nameless, and the homeless. The Holy Scriptures say they have important things to say to us. But let me go even deeper and perhaps even more personal with you this morning. Growing up, I fondly remember more dinners than I can count around my grandmother's dining room table. My grandmother, who is 95 years old and counting, many of you in this congregation would appreciate my grandmother, gave birth to 17 children. Did you hear me? 17 children. My mother, Duane's grandmother, being the oldest child. It seemed as if this table that sat six or seven people at a time could make room for hundreds. She seemed to never run out of food or a place to sit. From an early age, she told me, as her first grandchild, "My dear son, God has abundantly blessed us with more than enough in this life. God has abundantly blessed us with more than enough in this life." And friends, I knew there wasn't enough. I knew that. She said, "I just hope I can share with those who are in need. I just hope I could share with those who are in need." And she did. This from a person who never even had much of an elementary level education, a poor caretaker's daughter. Good things happen when you share your lunch. That's a sign. My grandmother has been more of a prophet than she knows. I remember the first time I was asked to preach. Jim, you know about this, don't you, right? I was a nervous wreck, and I'm still a nervous wreck. And she told me, she and my grandfather told me, I didn't have the gifts or the abilities to do such a thing. The prophets of my childhood gave me a hug and said, "You would be surprised what God can do with what we deem as nothing." Out of scarcity, my friends, God shows us abundance. Out of doubt comes faith. The disciples had a similar experience when that large crowd, in fact, multitudes, to be more accurate, kept following Jesus. Let me go back to where we started this message. On that mountain, Jesus looked around and asked a question to test them. Where are we to buy food?
buy bread for these people to eat. And Philip spoke after seeing the abundance of people and what to him looked like a scarcity of food. 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Once again, Jesus surprised them and took what was deemed as nothing, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and made it into abundance for all. Not only were the people fed that day, but they were satisfied. And there was a multitude of food left over to help feed others. In God's abundance and love, God continues to pour into creation that which is needed by the world. God does this through the talents, abilities, and passions of many diverse individuals in what we call the church. And it is only together that we can be God's hands and feet and voices in creation. As Christians who believe we are created in God's image, God's mission becomes ours when we use our time and talents as well as the financial resources we produce by stewarding our God-given talent and time to care for all of creation and to care and to share with other human beings as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We call to do this both individually and cooperatively as a church. So when we hear this simple announcement, and what a delightful church and a generous church, when we hear the simple announcement that we need food for the pantry so that people can come with dignity and take food from this pantry, this church responds. This church does it over and over again. I leave us this morning with these questions. Where in our lives have we felt like we didn't have the gifts to do what God was calling us to do, but were surprised by the outcome? Where in our lives have we seen abundance out of what first seemed as scarcity? Where is God calling this church today to provide a voice of abundant hope? Abundant hope in the midst of what seems like abundant scarcity and abundant fear. My dear friends, Jesus feeds us if we let him. And when he does, we find even in our struggles with adversity in the world, even with what first seems like scarcity, he comes to us and takes us where we need to go. The one who feeds us sends us and meets us on the way. Share your lunch today. Share your faith on your way. Good things happen always. Amen. Thanks be to God.